Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life.
A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. And it's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, grief, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other one, however, is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person, too. The grandson, he thought about it for a minute and looked up and asked his grandfather, well, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, it's the one you feed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good evening. Good morning or good afternoon. That's right, I didn't say it in order, but it always still depends on what part of the world you are listening. So I'll say it again. Good evening. Welcome. Okay, namaste, hola. Welcome to an episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show for Thursday, May 27th, 2021. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of your hosting duties. holding down the other half of those hosting duties, my best friend, the Lions historian, my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? Can you hear us loud and clear?
I'm hearing you.
Of course, now my prayer is that you can hear me.
Well, I hear you too, man. So
amen.
We're two for two
amen.
So far. Right on.
All right, man. All righty. I tell you, it feels like it's been forever since I've been on, man. Wow.
Man.
Great to be back, man.
Yes, great. Good hearing you. All the way fully. And not like, you know, like this speech here and there. Kind of not. Like a bad remix album.
Yeah. Sounded like Tonto. You know.
Oh, wow.
You know, who was truly an amazing guy, because actually he spoke perfect English. You know, it was just the way that they structured the script. You know, I mean, his diction was great. It was just, Kimbo Sabe, me think that maybe, you should, maybe after me go. You know, sounded like an Indian Yoda kind of thing, you know. But
but
his diction was perfect. Yeah, just weird. Anyway, I'm not going to start tripping on that, man. I got a million things bouncing out around in my head, so I'm going to back off, man, so you can crank it in the direction you want it to go right now. But believe me, my feet are moving and I'm chomping at the bit.
I'm glad to hear you loud and clear.
Amen.
So, you know, I'm excited to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, man. Man. Yeah, I was tripping hard a couple weeks ago, man. Yeah. Frustration all the way. Go ahead, man. Don't let me take you off your stride. Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. No taking off the stride at all. So, you know, here it is, the last Thursday of the month already. Even though we, you know, had a couple of hiccups here and there with some tech issues and some other family stuff. You know, it's already the end of May, you know, well past 100 days of Biden now. And, you know, the last month of May, and May, you know, as we mentioned before, is Mental Health Awareness Month. But
amen.
Let me say this, even though this is the last day of Awareness Month, you know, one thing that we do is bring awareness to mental health as much as we can. You know, maybe not every
much as we can, right?
But as much as we can, you know, so it just doesn't stop at the end of the month. It's like Black History Month or Hispanic Heritage Month, you know, it keeps going. So,
Amen, man.
Yeah. So I know, you know, we might touch up on those things, but, before we jump in and get things revving here, because this will, you know, I mean, we missed last week. We had some tech issues the week before. I'm kind of like you a little bit. My feet are running. My brain may not be going as good as you, but my feet is running. I just don't know which way I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, I feel that, man. I feel that all the time.
But before we get going, one thing that we don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, before we get going here, we always like to remind you to grab a pencil and paper, a pen and pad, post a note and a marker, whatever you got, back of an envelope. You might have some questions. We don't want you to forget those questions, because here on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, why use 100 words when 1,000 words will do? So within those 1,000 words, we don't want you to forget your questions. And who knows, you might even pick up something or learn something from one of us that you didn't even know. So maybe you might get something from us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Our live shows are every Thursday night, and this is for those that are listening to the rebroadcast on Blog Talk Radio, whatever platform you're listening to. But our shows are live Thursday nights, and we'll be changing to Tuesdays as well, right now at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But during our live shows, you're able to engage with us two ways. You can either engage with us in the chat room, which you can access with your free Blog Talk Radio account. You can chat and type in. Or if you're really feeling brave and feeling, you know, and at the same time, like this is a safe zone or something like that, you could call in and dial in. Our call-in number is 516-453-6094. And if you press 1 on your keypad, that'll bring your number in our call-in queue that let us know you want to come in and engage with us live on the show, which we always enjoy and look forward to hearing from you as well.
Thank you, man.
I'm trying to remember. I don't have my script with me tonight. I'm just kind of feeling it. But I feel like there's one other thing. I can't remember. You know, shout out to our friends at kdubradio.com. And again, you can access our shows, you can in our archives on Blog Talk Radio and Apple and Google Podcasts. I can't remember what the last thing to remind the people, so I guess it will come to me later on, or when it's supposed to come to me, as we say sometimes, right?
That's right. Or to come back another way, yeah.
Yeah, or come back another way. But, yeah, that's the main thing. Pen and pad and our engagement here on Thursday. So, like I said, it's the end of the month, man, and you know, we're always aware of mental health and spiritual, physical health, health and wellness. But there's a lot of things going on. We just coming into a new retrograde. We hadn't really talked about retrogrades in a while. I don't know. Did you see any pictures of this flower moon or blood moon that they call it from this morning? Did you see anything?
I've been tripping about other stuff, man. So you go ahead and do your thing around that, man.
Oh man, I just wondered if you might have caught a picture or two or something like that.
Well, you know, they tend to be the same picture, you know, recycled, you know, for effect, because this is a solar event, you know, that happens, you know, annually. The what you call the blood moon, you know. But you also mentioned, you know, series of planets being in retrograde. And, of course, that only appeals to those that it appeals to. It helps me when I know Mercury's in retrograde, because it helps me to understand why my damn computer ain't doing what it's supposed to do.
Right,
of course,
right.
That doesn't include when it's just old and raggedy and needs to be replaced, you know. You know, but, yeah. So I don't know, you know, it's funny how we hear these things and we absorb these things and we don't disagree with these things, but it's kind of like Jeopardy, you know, the game show. We get all the facts, but they only are useful at the moment we're talking about it. You know, it's not really applied afterwards. Like in all the times I've watched Jeopardy, I don't remember ever using anything that I heard on Jeopardy to make a point in an argument. You know, it's like it lasts for a half hour, you know, and then I'm on the other thing. So, you know, I don't know how much people actually make a study of these things. So I don't know, you know, how much enthusiasm, you know, from our millions of listeners, you know, we'll track. There you go, my man. You know, we'll track our enthusiasm. You know, but it's definitely worth, you know, a warning kind of show. Hey, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, it's hard. I think it's hard for people to think outside of the influence of gravity. You know, we tend to, even in our belief system, you know, we tend to keep everything under, you know, under the stratosphere, you know, even though we, you know, so many Christians acknowledge God being, you know, so externally removed, we still treat God, you know, concepts or, you know, whoever we claim as our spiritual creator, you know, we tend to confine that belief system to gravity, you know, like only pertaining to the issues of the earth. And what a waste of space, man. You know, what a waste of space. But I guess it's asking people too much to think outside of, you know, the sphere. I want to call it the box, but Earth ain't a box. It's a sphere, you know. And it's just asking a lot, I guess, to ask folks to think outside of the realm of gravity, you know, to consider the potency of the universe, just the one that inhabits the Earth. You know, it's like, no, I'd rather think, you know, earthly problems. I'd rather think earthly worries. I'd rather think earthly issues, instead of realizing that how minute that is, to keep it confined to such a small dot in the universe, when, you know, the creator of all that has so much more to offer in the way of our understanding. It blows me away. And it's even more frustrating when it's apparent that talking about this tends to get people uncomfortable, You know, it's like, it sounds, I think, to others, blasphemous, you know. And what we're saying, what you were just saying, you know, no, it's a matter of understanding that there is order to the universe. You know, instead of thinking that, you know, the universe revolves around the earth, you know, let's put it in perspective. You know, well, anyway, there I go, man. See, I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead, Will.
Yeah. You got reeled right in, right? It was perfect. I reeled you right in.
Man.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. My man. You willed me right in.
I willed you right in, right.
Yeah, that's WILLED and WHEELED. Yeah. You willed me right in. Right on, man.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny, yeah. So, yeah, you know, we're dealing with some retrogrades and stuff like that. The end of the month, it's been a year now, you know, since George Floyd died,
man.
Was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a full year now. You know, so there's an act that's being passed or held up, you know, we'll get into that. So these are just some things I mentioned on the description of tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, just some topics and thoughts that I had. And again, you know, this is why we enjoy our engagement piece, because we would like to get your thoughts as well. But, you know, still dealing with COVID. Are you noticing and still talking about COVID? Are you still seeing numbers like you used to, you know, when you're watching TV and stuff like that? Did you ever really?
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, but did you ever really, you know, pay attention to it like that? But I'm.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What were you about?
Yeah.
To say?
Yeah, I was just gonna, you know, jump right in with what you were asking. The numbers have shifted, you know, and that's kind of unnerving, you know. I like the numbers have shifted about the number of people vaccinated and. You know, the different age groups and the different genders and the different races, you know, but it's about more about, you know, vaccination, you know, which is a driving point of President Biden. And okay, and, you know, like showing that, you know, the rate of infections is down. But still, and this is what rattles my cage, the but still, you know, hundreds and in some cases thousands, well, into the thousands are still dying every day. You know, where that was such the focus just a few short months ago, now it's a kind of a parenthesis, oh, yeah, by the way thing. You know, as if the families who endure a family member dying of COVID now is somehow lesser of a grief issue than a year ago. You know, so that kind of, you know, shakes my cage some, that we're not talking more about the, you know, the death spirals and where they're occurring, you know, instead talking more about, oh, how many people are getting vaccinated or how many people are, you know, resisting it, you know, and it's like, again, the political platform, you know, has shifted, you know, the public eye and of course strengthened by the media, you know, and that just, so the numbers are there, but not in the same, in the same graph, you know, as, you know, as recently as 2020. Yeah, it's just, you know, so there's so much, you know, there's so many conflicts around where are we right now with COVID-19, like mask, unmask, mask if you want, the hell with a mask, you know, I ain't masking no matter what. You know, and I was watching basketball last night briefly, and the stadiums are full again, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, how, really? And, you know, so indoor stadiums, you know, and so, you know, my great fear in all of this, I mean, the obvious, of course, you know, spikes and deaths and infection, but my great fear is that somewhere along the way politically, it's going to give the previous president a platform to say, see, I told you, you know, and that's what, you know, frightens me more than anything else, that he'll be given a voice to say, I told you it wasn't as bad as you thought, and I told you we would have you know, the cure. And I told you that I was doing all the things that were necessary and how people are going to jump on that, you know, because America is not a country that deals with history, more or less memory. And, you know, we like to, you know, we're a very disposable society. So we only deal with what's right in front of us right now. And that's what scares me more than anything else, this continuum of ignorance that, you know, is going to, again, you know, heighten my fear about my own safety. And, you know, and I hear, you know, the Christian dialogue. I mean, I hear it every day from one source or another, you know, but that Christian dialogue, you know, about God's, you know, protecting hedge, which I believe in, you know, but in mm-hmm. regards to COVID, and how people have just decided between them and God, they're not concerned about COVID, but it's the same people, you know, that will rush to the doctor, you know, when they have a sore throat, you know, or sniffles. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I ain't questioning the doc when I do the things that I trust doc to do, but I ain't trusting doc when he's trying to bring me things that I don't want to do. And instead of people just saying, you know, I'm scared or, you know, I just don't want to, or, you know, it's inconvenient. I would rather they just say that, you know, than following the breadcrumb, you know, that the media tosses out and that the ignorance of the political base tosses out, man. So, you know, that,
yeah,
and
that
was, here I am spending all this time and you just asked me a simple question. I did, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm kind of crunk, man.
Uh-oh, you crunked tonight. You know, that was I think in our last show, I think I mentioned a little bit about it, because, you know, we talked a little bit about it from my own personal point of view of having
mm-hmm.
the vaccination
mm-hmm.
and not having it.
Mm-hmm.
And just
mm-hmm.
being okay with just not being comfortable, you know, it's just not the right
mm-hmm.
time, but not because you're trying to ride the bandwagon. I still feel like there's a conspiracy theory, you know, that because I'm black or something like that, or being vac-shamed because, you know, you don't have a vaccination versus somebody that does have a vaccination. But, I was just curious, again, and just as far as if you had noticed it, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, we talked about it's been a year since George Floyd's death. And so...
Man.
For me, that automatically causes me to look at what I was doing a year ago. Just like, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it was pretty traumatic for all of us, I think. So like a lot of traumatic experiences, 9/11 or something like that. Where were you? What were you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it kind of forces you to look back on where you are, where you were, and where you are. You know, of course, in where we were, where we are as a people and as a country, et cetera. But it's got to start individually, of course. So,
yeah. Right on, man.
Yeah. And so, you know, with all that and looking at where we were last year with COVID, where we were last year with health, with mental health, and just starting out doing this COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, you know, I was talking to Sue earlier, and we were talking about where we were a year ago. You know, and I just moved into, you know, this crib that I'm at now. And at the
Man.
Time, you know, I had an air mattress on the floor and was grateful, and that was it, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Get
that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of people like,
yep,
I know that
yep.
stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, so that's kind of, you know, where I'm at tonight. It's been a weird year. You know, I was like, maybe it's just been the month or the last couple of months, but weird in a good way. A little, you know, different and all kind of emotions. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
scary a little bit. You know, here I am on the show. We're talking about, I'm bringing up retrogrades and stuff like that. I've done it before. We're talking about horoscopes and you know, being okay with it and being open with
mm-hmm.
whatever that is, you know. And I know some people won't really dig into what's not, but that's, you know,
That's what it is. But I enjoy our ability to bring these things up and to talk about it. You know, a year ago we weren't even doing this show. You know, so let alone you thinking about being okay with not only doing it
right.
once a week, but
right.
twice a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was rocking in Austin, man. You know, I've been there for a little over a month, man. The last part of May.
Fresh in August and often.
Hiding out, man, putting myself in self-quarantine, ducking the COVID, man, ducking the
Amen.
COVID.
Amen.
You know?
Hey, it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's a lot of what you were doing, too, you know, because you aren't really, you know, you haven't really been in the mainstream of the public eye in such a way that, you were constantly being exposed. You know, and you have a mom. You have a mom who keeps you in check. You know, always aware. You know, so I don't. You know, and you've known people who've been sick. You know, you've known people, at least through me, if nothing else, who've died. You know, so it's not like, you know, your awareness is not there. Your awareness is very much there, and your choice. Since you're not really around other people where you could, you know, be a carrier or anything, I think that kind of justifies your resistive attitude. Not to mention, you know, your conspiracy theorists that behavior. You know, I've gotten a lot of mileage off of that, though, man. You don't know how much your conspiracy theories helps me with arguments with others. You know,
oh,
you have well prepared me.
Right,
you know, and that's the thing, though. You know, I think what so many people miss, you know, it's one thing to be a conspiracy theorist around something like COVID, but it's another thing to just be stupid. You know, and that differentiation isn't made often enough. You know, stupid people do stupid things, you know, and they get away with it. Man, they get away with it, at least in this country. They get away with it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so much for that from my perspective anyway. You know, COVID is an interesting dilemma. But, man, you mentioned George Floyd. Been a year, bruh.
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Been a year.
And I still don't feel any better. I still don't feel any better, man. You know, this when this comes up, when it's being, you know, tossed around, you know, and I hear about, you know, all of what, you know, went on still, I don't feel any better when I start reading things that show that the trajectory of police violence and murders, well, I can't call them murders, you know, slayings or killings is – after all that George Floyd, you know, campaigning, the issues of the police and their killing of the citizenry is right in line with last year. It hasn't changed a bit. It hasn't dropped a bit. The trajectory is exactly as it was last year. You know. And you would think at least it would have been a dip from, like, let's say July or August or even September through, you know, maybe, you know, November or December. But it's been a steady, you know, incline, you know, since his death, man. That scares me. You know, all this campaigning, all this poking holes in the sky, you know, all this demands, all these demands for reform, you know. And I'm not saying police versus black men or black people. I'm saying police killings, period. You know, we can break down all the other, you know, stats. But the point is, regardless, the trajectory has not wavered one bit, man. You know, so what do we do? So what's the point? You know, and we're still getting these mass killings, you know, like the news media is talking about, you know, how this hasn't changed since George Floyd, and then news break. you know, there's been a mass shooting in San Jose. I'm watching the news, and they're talking about this one thing, and then they break in, you know, breaking news. You know, and it's like, man, you know, what is – and then you got – and my boy, you know, my boy here in Texas, right, he's got a special answer to it all, the governor here. You know, he's just passing a law. It may have passed already today. You know, if you can put steam on a mirror, you're good. As long as you're 21, you can carry a gun, period.
What do you call it? Steam on the mirror?
Huh? Yeah, if you can just show vapors on the mirror that you pass, you're good. Here, man, strap up. Yeah. You know, in Texas of all places, Texas, you know, man, you know, so I don't know. And, you know, and it's like a flicker of the news comes and goes. You know, and Texas, as big as it is, you know, there's millions of people in Texas. And Texas is a big-ass state, you know, and anybody in any corner, including Amarillo, that the news in Texas never covers, you know. You never hear about it. People forget that Amarillo's in Texas. You never hear. You hear about, you know, like a tornado passed through, you know, the southern tip of Oklahoma, but they won't say northern Texas because they would have to say Amarillo. I don't know what Amarillo did to Texas, but, man, it's never talked about. So even in Amarillo, people can carry guns. I mean, man, all the way. It's scary, man. I don't know, you know, and all because politically this state is worried about, you know, what they call now turning purple, meaning a mixture of red and blue, right? So let's pass these laws that would keep, you know, red, red. So what if the red is blood? Let's just keep it red, you know. Let's give the people what they want. Yeah, right. Give them a gun, you know. Yeah, perfect time to do it, too, right around Juneteenth. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry, Will. I tried to warn you ahead of time, man.
Oh, you brought up Juneteenth. Yeah, that's right around the corner,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right around the corner. Man, I mean, like, before next week's show, it'll be the month of Juneteenth before next week's show already. Man, you realize this year is half over? What happened?
Right.
You know, somebody's tricking me. That may not be that big of an issue for y'all youngsters, man, but it's like, I feel like I'm being nudged out the door. You know, this is happening way too fast, man. Damn. Yeah. A year since George Floyd. That don't even, man, Will, come on, Will, yeah. Will.
Yeah.
Ooh, brother. Yeah, man.
You know.
So how we doing, man? How we doing? We doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. Adam, already. I think I don't know, you, me, or we. Is it Amarillo or Armadillo?
It's Amarillo, man. Yeah,
Amarillo.
Of course, Adam would come up with something like that, you know. Yeah.
We're talking about
a whole lot of people would say,
would
think he's right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, yeah.
No, go ahead. No, just like, Amarillo, he's thinking of Armadillo, right? No,
yeah,
Amarillo.
He's just being cute. He knows what it
is.
He's
chuckling.
Just,
that's why I was.
He just wants some attention.
That's why we have more people to engage in the chat room. Please.
Oh, I haven't even gone back to the chat room. I'm sorry. I was doing some homework while we were talking, man, you know, because I'm only just not, you know, I moved. And I'm just now only been not even 2 weeks yet. And I'm still hunting out and finding my notes, man, you know. So I didn't find anything before tonight's show. So I'm totally off script, you know. So I apologize, but I was doing a little bit of homework while we've been bantering about just to bring something to the table, man, you know.
Oh, man, here we go. This guy, something, bring something. We have, I think between the both of us, we can probably do at least 3 shows unscripted.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know you're right. You know you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's like, whenever in the past when I used to do workshops, you know, I was still over prepare. You know, yeah. I felt like that was my obligation to over prepare rather than just, you know, just show up raw and then expect the Lord to guide me. The Lord's like, no, well, I'm going to do that anyway, but you got to do your homework. You know, you can't be pimping,
yes,
you know, like. I yes, think
sir.
It was your cousin,
yeah.
your cousin Art, I think. Adam would probably have his dad. Adam would probably have a better memory around this, but Art talked about, you know, not needing to prepare for an important test he was taking. And, you know, because he figured, you know, he just decided God had his back. So he failed the test. But he didn't fail. In Art's word, you know, God failed. God failed the test, not Art. You know, so it's kind of how we do things, you know. Like, you know, if we get to successes, then yeah, you know. But if we get to failures, then
yeah.
it's God's fault. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Shame on me
yeah.
for believing, you
yeah.
know, and
yeah.
having
yeah,
faith.
Yeah, there
you
go. You
know?
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Yeah. That's what I get.
You know, you know
yeah,
and that,
right
that's kind of where I'm kind of been running around about, you know, recently. And just, you know, being strong, trying to mm-hmm. keep some faith going, you know. Being strong about dealing with adversity. But congratulations, first of all, you know, things have been, you know, moving and grooving and shaking and baking for you. You know, you guys moved and, you know, you just got some more blessings. So, you know, I'm happy to, you know, see that growth that's been happening around you and for
man.
You, you know. So yeah,
but
I just
same,
wanted to
But at
acknowledge
the same
that.
Time, but at the same time, Will, you know, it's I'm not going to call it embarrassing, but it's discerning because I've been on the, you know, I've been on the downside of I don't know how to put it. I don't want to say the downside of blessings, but maybe more like the downside of celebrations for, you know, several years. You know, learning how to live without a ride, you know, for the past 8 years, learning how to, you know, how to get by on Social Security, you know, learning how to appreciate living under someone else's roof, you know, learning how to accept, you know, that just because I'm a senior, you know, person of this family doesn't mean that they know anything about how I was raised, you know, came to elders and seniors, you know, and learning that it's a different age and learning what it means to be an uncle in a family that, you know, really doesn't know me that way, you know, and not allowed to compare what it was like for me growing up under a herd of uncles, you know, learning that, you know, that it's a different perspective. So all of these themes have, like, been what I've been contending with for the past 8 years. And then all of a sudden to get this rush of blessings, one after what I'm calling blessings, you know, grace, gifts, blessings, you know, positive strokes, however somebody wants to put it. Hmm. And now finding myself, you know, almost embarrassed when I'm really not comfortable with talking about it. Because this isn't where other people's seasons are. You know, this is where my season is for me right now, regardless of where it's been in the past. But it's like so many were, you know, were on the high end of the season, and now they're not. And I don't feel comfortable talking about it, you know, because so many who were doing so well have for the past year or so really been struggling. You know, where my struggles were my own and, you know, keep a stiff upper lip kind of conversations from others, I really want to say, all your help and all your positive thinking, you know, helped me through. So now I'm riding the crest. Oh, but I'm sorry, you know, that y'all are so down and out. Keep a stiff upper lip, you know, hang in there, you know. So
yeah.
instead, I'm keeping a low profile, you know, because
yeah.
I don't want it to seem like, you know, I'm bragging,
right,
but I am
right.
thankful. Man, I am so incredibly thankful, but at the same time, prayerful, you know, that those who, you know, are struggling right now will see the light, you know, and continue the fight, you know, and hold on to belief, you know, because hope is eternal, you know. I mean, the saying is hope springs eternal, but hope is eternal, you know. So it's like we can't outlive the promise of hope, no matter how desperate moments may seem to be. So let me get off my soapbox, man. But, yeah, it has been.
That's cool.
Yeah, it has been an amazing 2 months, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, like, real quick, and then I'll stop my brag.
Come on.
We talking about, you know, new crib, new laptop, new cell phone, and a ride. You know, yeah, and a couple dollars in my pocket. Man, you know, I mean, I ain't talking about, you know, dollars left over. I'm talking about unexpected dollars, you know, that have paved the way and paid the way in so many ways, you know, allow me to, you know, to do things that just a couple months ago, it's like, are y'all crazy? I mean, seeing you last weekend, man, you know, and I tell you, as great as it was, you coming down and bringing my ride down to me and me having a chance to meet them, and I'm probably mispronouncing her name, so I apologize, because, you know, I'm still a old boy from the corner. Yadi Sue. I just like saying Yadi Sue, you know. So you can correct the pronunciation later, although that's probably what I'm going to keep on calling her instead of me Nina, you know. But seeing y'all last week, you know, but it was such a short visit, but it was such a – because it had been over a year since I had seen you last. But no sooner y'all left, man, you know, it was that great emptiness, you know, that, you know, it was like, man, I didn't realize how much I was going to miss you until you were gone, you know, so I didn't get a chance to really enjoy the time you was here, you know, because, I mean, as soon as y'all turned the corner at the airport and disappeared behind that wall, man, I choked up. I'm even trying to choke up now talking about it, man. But I wish your circumstances were more plentiful, so to say. But I tell you, man, you know, it meant so much seeing you. It really did.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that road trip, man. You know, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good trip. You know, it was definitely a good moment to not do a show. You know, like I sometimes feel guilty, you know, about not doing these shows on Thursdays, mm-hmm. but, you know, and I like doing these, I like what we do, you know, because this is, selfishly, this is a moment for you and I just to do what we've always done, you know, just when we sometimes just engage in conversations, and our shows do turn into just a phone conversation, but mm-hmm. that's okay too, because I think we still leave things for the listeners. I think we give something to the listeners at the end of at 9 o'clock, you know, and when Amen comes on, you know. So, but mm-hmm. I was very grateful to and thankful for that opportunity to get you to ride, to be able to hit the road with Yadira Sue.
Ah, Yadira. Okay, not Yadi. Yeah.
Not Yadi.
Yadira. All right. I ain't going to call her out that name, then. I'll just stick to Sue.
That's all right. I might walk out my office and get a karate chop just because she couldn't give it to you, but that's okay. All right. I'll take that gladly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, she's a sweet young lady, and I can stick to me, Nina. Yeah.
I'm glad that we were able to do that and get down there. So we're supposed to be in
Amen.
And out. You know, we weren't supposed to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
We were just supposed to get it done. And you know, and again, looking back at a year
mm-hmm.
from where we are now, you know, last year at this time in 2020, and, you know, I may not, have, I don't know how to put this, but, you know, I know what you're saying just as far as, like, some of the gifts and blessings that
mm-hmm.
are coming to me, you know, that you've already received.
Amen.
And I know there's a part of you that has that guilty feeling, maybe because I haven't had those same gifts. But
we have, right? Definitely.
You know, we have, you know, a year now, you know, and I'm not on the air mattress on the floor, you know, a year now, and I'm not dealing with, you know, an abusive relationship, you know.
Amen.
A year later, you know, a year later, we're still healthy, you know, if not even healthier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely one of these kind of moments that, as corny or I don't know I can't remember the term right now, but, you know, of course, it's not always about material things, of course, but it's what we always been talking about. It's about those material values, you know, when we take those inventory, those things that we throw away, those things that we throw away to pick up later on, you know, so those things of mental value or spiritual value, you know, and eventually there's going to be more stuff. But anyway, kind of going off course a little bit here, but a year later, here we are.
Yeah, well, if you're going off course, I'm going off course with you. Well, maybe I led you off course.
A little bit of both. So, you know, looking at some of the content that I mentioned earlier for tonight's show, and again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you're listening to the show live right now, you can engage with us in the chat room utilizing your free Blog Talk Radio account. Or you can also give us a call on the phone lines, 516-453-6094. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday, you know, we mentioned this retrograde. So right now, in case you didn't know it, or in case somebody else didn't know, right now it's a Saturn retrograde. It's all about stillness. And you may even if you look it up or if you see some writings about it, you'll see Saturn RX. Well, at least in my notes, it has Saturn RX. And I really didn't question why the RX part. I just know it's a retrograde. I don't know if RX is short for that. But I like it because, you know, RX is used as a indicator of a prescription. You know, what's the RX? What's the prescription, you know? So for me, this is kind of like maybe a prescription for some of us. You know, and going into this retrograde or this new time period. So this is like between May 23rd and October 10th. And this is about stillness. It's not a time to force changes to happen, but rather just kind of go with the status quo, if you will, of changes that are already in motion. Just go with changes that are already in motion and really focus on how you can work. And what I'm doing is focus on how I can work on what I'm already doing. We talked a lot about karma on this show as well. And one thing that we talk about karma is we talk about the balance of karma. A lot of people have these other definitions of karma, but the foundation that we talk about karma is the balance. And karma is sorting itself out right now. And it's time to allow to do, how can I put this? It's time to allow to do It's time to allow to do so, you know, let it, you know, balance itself out while working hard on the tougher things in life. And I mentioned, you know, like it's been tough for me right now, so to speak, quote, I'm throwing the two fingers up, tough, because there's other things that I'm trying to understand and figure out, you know, in dealing with these changes and looking at this past year, you know. Yeah. Challenges of my faith, if you will, challenges of my belief and trust in things that will just happen. But it's times like this, and if anybody else goes through that, it's times like right now where it's really advantageous to take those moments and to provide that stillness. We've talked about self-care, right? Mental Health Awareness Month is the end of this month, but we always talk about that, but we talk about taking those moments to just be calm and be still. And there's always going to be challenges, right? Challenges often come during this time, or stuff that's during this rebalancing time, that a lot of fear and anxiety. Reading The Two Wolves today, Dad, really kind of got me a little bit. Now, in the beginning, I had some tech issues, you know, whatever. But, again, the two wolves. Which wolf are you going to feed? Are you going to feed that fear and anxiety, you know, wolf? Or are you going to fear that one with compassion and empathy? And, you know, so May 23rd to October 10th, you know, if some of you are want to know more about it, you know, definitely send me a message and I can send you some more information about what a Saturn retrograde is between this time period. Or even if you want to look at it, look it up yourself, I implore you to do the same. Look it up just as I did. And, you know, each one teach one, as they say. So what's interesting is that last night or early this morning, they had this super full moon, right, this lunar eclipse. They call it the flower moon or blood moon because of the, I think it was the reflection of the sun or something like that that gives us this shade of red. But this is a time to slow down before we speed up. Now, this is a separate piece here that I'm reading, that I researched. This is separate. And this is about what happened really right now, I think, because we kind of feel the effects of the moon in it right now. But this is a time to slow down before we speed up. And we have a chance to discover a new sense of direction, finding new meanings for our experience, making a conscious choice to close a chapter of our life and begin writing a new one. So a chance to embody a deeper level, embody a deeper level of authenticity and root into the acceptance of the present moment. The urge to search for a deeper meaning, reconsider our belief system. I was just talking about, you know, the issue I'm dealing with right now and just, you know, trying to keep strong with my faith and belief and trust. Also dealing with the urge to search for a deeper, like I said, a deeper meaning in our perception of truth, an opportunity to detach from past patterns and make space for new ones. To me, that sounds like personal inventory, right? Detach from past patterns.
Yeah.
Make space for new ones. So, you know, this is a good time to, you know, look at those things. Good time to do that. Our listener in the chat room said a period of calm and follow through. So yeah. So that's what was, I just wanted to share that with what's happening here with the full moon last night and retrogrades, planets realigning and moons looking red. Halfway in the year, 2021. It's trippy, man. This is, you know, trippy stuff. Like, you know, I've always, you know, you've taught me about breath work and music and chakras, you know, and I read all these things. I talk about these things with Sue. I talk about these things on social media. But maybe it's just one of, you know, I don't know. You know, it's, of course, is it a coincidence? You know, we talked a lot about numerology. Like, it's really funny how these numbers are lining up the way they just lined up, at least on Thursdays. You know, at least for me, I find some joy and affirmation in some of the things we do and talk about, and even some of the energies I feel, and I'm okay with it, even if it's troublesome, you know, sometimes. But it's kind of like, you know, when I bought my Chevy, and now all I see is a bunch of Chevys in the same color that I own.
I know that one, man.
So now it's like, oh, man, so I'm seeing all these 111s and 555s and 333s. You know, what's going on? You know, these deer keep coming in the backyard and hanging out.
What's going on? Yeah, man. It's, you know, a coming of age with regards to consciousness, you know, and there's so much of it happening, and I think so many don't know what to call it, but it's a coming of age of consciousness, and the time we're living in is forcing it, you know, it's forcing a level of consciousness, because there's so much, you know, imbalance, and there's no way to find, you know, a rebalancing other than through the recognition of the unbalance, you know, and there's different ways of looking at it, and there's different approaches, and, you know, scripture has, you know, its point in regards to, you know, the balancing seasons. And, you know, we call it, well, we don't. I mean, some call it, you know, in some forms of belief, karma. You know, you give every week a perfect example of karma when you talk about the two wolves, you know. And the one has no meaning without the other. You know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, it's the constant duality, you know, of purpose that we seek. And it's the constant duality of purpose, though, that we seek. And whatever it is, we're consumed by. It just so happens that this part of the world is consumed by the cosmic economy. You know, that's where we are. It's a capitalistic society. You know, there's another part of the world that's a communistic society. You know, and there's other parts of the world that live off the land. You know, this land was a land that the inhabitants lived off the land. You know, and we've had several shows where we've talked about how that imbalance created the very issues that we're dealing with now, just, you know, a few hundred years later. You know, really, when we start talking about manifest destiny, we're only talking about, you know, not even quite a couple hundred years later, you know, and how, you know, the price is being paid, that nothing is free. You know, nothing is free. There's a price to pay in some form or another for everything, you know, that is used. There's a price to pay for it. Now, you know, I'm not talking monetary necessarily, you know, but there's, for anything used, there's a price that's paid. You know, and the idea is to replenish. And here's the struggle in America. You know, the price that is being paid can only be, you know, satisfied through a lifting of consciousness. And, man, folks are fighting tooth and nail, either in one direction or the other, either seeking, you know, higher consciousness or determined that hell be gone. You know, don't be trying to change the way I think, you know. Man, you know, no way illustrated any better than in this country, you know. And so, if you don't mind, let me back up a little bit, man. In case I don't want to take you off your stride again, you know.
No, I like I said, I just wanted to share this information about the Saturn retrograde again. Amen. Started May 20th. I'm always fascinated by the moon, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, call it whatever you want to call it, but
I call it Scorpio.
there it is. You know.
Oh, do you happen to be Scorpio? Oh, okay.
I happen to be a Scorpio, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I don't howl at the moon as much as I used to, but I sure would stand out there and just gaze at it. So.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You weren't supposed to respond to that part.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe
your how is Mr. Beat, dude.
I've got a little longer teeth now, but, you know, it might be a little different. But, yeah, again, you know, looking this year, I'm kind of just really on this year. And even as we mentioned that this is a moment of calmness and just being still, and I think we all kind of need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
You know, it's been a crazy few years, let alone the last year right after, because America was on fire. You know?
Yeah, man.
It was on fire.
Yeah.
And things weren't looking good. I mean, crying all over the place, apologizing. You know, I mean, it was crazy. it was really scary times, traumatic times, very traumatic. And that was another reason I wanted to share it. Just
keeping with our themes of mental health, not just in the month of May, but in dealing with mental health, dealing with self-care, dealing with trauma, you know, black man stress disorder, black America stress disorder, people of color stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need this, this moment.
And white people stress disorder. You know,
and
the only, yeah, but the only difference between what you said and what I said is that white people's stress disorder is defined as post-traumatic stress disorder in the DSM. You know, so they got their own diagnosis, you know, and everybody else has to squeeze into that. You know, but that was based on white research, you know, and people, you know, non-white people, you know, had to, and in many ways, you know, white women, you know, had to find our own definition in that definition, you know, and had to do, you know, like a self-diagnosis, you know, along with the professional diagnosis, you know, in order to have a brand, as y'all like to say, you know. But it's like, well, this is what we're giving you. Now you have to figure out how to make it fit, you know, because our research didn't include you, you know, because our research doesn't include you. So, you know, the only time our research is a part of you is when it has to do with us and our reactions or our actions or our behaviors toward you, or in Freud's terms, you know, the problems that is caused by hanging around you. Well, yeah, I think that was Freud. It might have been Jung. You know, one or the other. You know, if it was Jung, he was a student of Freud, so still, you know, fruit don't grow far from the tree. You know, I think it was Jung who said, you know, close association with the Negro will be the downfall of white America, even though Jung only visited America once.
I remember, that's right, I remember reading that. I can't remember who, but I do remember reading that,
So, you know, it's, and we're talking about the turn of the century. We're talking about right in the early, I think it's 1908 or something like that. So, again, you know, American history is too new, as we know it as contemporary American history. It's too new to have already been forgotten, you know. And, of course, it's been forgotten because it's never been provided, because there's no compliment in the bedtime story we like to tell about America. You know, and that's all America has been. You know, it's been a bedtime story that all of a sudden now is turning into a nightmare. Yeah. But again, yeah, I go again, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Will, man.
No, so
you got to shut me up, bro.
Oh, man, we wouldn't have a show without you. Get out of here. but I think that kind of goes into where you wanted to head next. But, you know, you mentioned Juneteenth. And at the end of, also at the end of this month, is the Black Wall Street, May 31st, right? Exactly the last day of the month, Memorial Day that we celebrate. Memorial Day is the first day of the beginnings of the massacre in Tulsa.
Oh really? I thought it was Juneteenth. I didn't know it was in May. You know, slap my face.
May 31st to June 1st. Yeah.
Slap my face. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, that makes even more sense. You know, as far as you know, like what's going on. And how, you know, the media, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up, Memorial Day, other than being, you know, like the celebration of school's out, you know, other than that, you know, it was always war movies. That's all we saw, either war movies or war movies were hitting the movies, you know, hitting the theaters, you know. Like Easter was always biblical stories, you know, but around Memorial Day, that's when the big war movies came out, you know, and growing up and, you know, not having anything else to compare it to, again, the bedtime story suggested, boy, America is the, you know, is the joint. It's the bomb, it's, well, literally, it's the place to be. You know, we're all things to all people everywhere else. You know, I mean, you know, the red, white, and blue, you know, the star-spangled banner, you know, God, you know, and trust in God, you know, God loves America. You know, I mean, that's, if you only show one thing, you only can believe one thing, you know. But fast forward it now, in the shady years of my life, Memorial Day don't mean what it used to mean. Now all of a sudden, Juneteenth comes into play, you know, all of a sudden, Tulsa, the Black Wall Street Massacre comes into play, you know, and you just dropped something on me. I swear, you know, I didn't even consider the date, just the event. I'll be darned, man. You know, I'm embarrassed to say, but you just schooled me on something. May 31st, man, Memorial Day will never be the same to me again, even though it stopped being the same since, you know, since I was a teenager. Nevertheless, thank you for that, man. You know, that makes things make even more sense why the media is getting so hyped around the massacre in Tulsa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that Juneteenth is June 19th.
Right.
But that. Right. But yeah, the I know you wanted to mention you wanted to talk something about Black Wall Street. So that's why I was just leading into some things you had on your mind.
Well, you know, not just that in itself, but just the scenes of what, again, coming back to your point earlier about, you know, consciousness being raised. I mean, there is a reality that cannot be denied anymore, you know, because that can of worms has been ripped open. George Floyd had a lot to do with it, but as we did in previous shows, there were many who had gone, you know, long before, you know, the issue of George Floyd came into play. But the indifference, but the malaise, the frustrating realities of times haven't changed just became such a reality for Black folks that we just kind of took it as, you know, one more day of being Black, you know, one more day of being Black. This is what it is to be Black in America, but only Black people get to talk about it, you know, and only Black people of no notoriety get to talk about it, you know, because, you know, like those who have some kind of power, those that have some kind of recognition, they have to appease their white audience, you know, and because the white audience pays their salary, you know, so that there is no more, you know, soapbox oratory, you know, there is no more 1960s, you know, appeal for civil rights, you know, everything now that has benefited from that time pretty much would rather not talk about the times that brought them into fruition for fear of chasing away their white support. And that's okay, except it leaves a big hole in Black consciousness as a result. So if our affluent Black leaders aren't speaking in our defense, then who does? You know, nobody. So we become a diagnosis. You know, we become the perpetrator of our own misery, you know, because those in places of affluence, you know, absolutely take a back seat to any conceivable idea that they are aware of the sensitivities around their own Blackness. My best example is Clarence Thomas. Now, this is a brother who comes into the Supreme Court right on the heels of Thurgood Marshall, and he is the exact opposite. Other than being a brother of color, you know, he is the exact opposite of everything that Thurgood Marshall stood for, you know, in regards to that position, you know, of affluence. And then we could just go right on down the line. But nothing stuns me. And the fact that it was a sister who was blowing the whistle on him, and it was Joe Biden who was leading the committee to appoint him or whatever that's called. Sorry, I can't.
Right.
You know, the Senate, panel, whatever they're called. You know, he was he was one of the spearheads that really did everything he could to kind of slam the door in Anita Hill's face, you know. And of course, that had its moment. It flared back up again while he was campaigning, and his vice president did a lot to bring a lot of that back up. But, you know, black folks being black folks, you know, we got to take what we have, and we have to make what we get be everything we have a chance to need at a particular moment. So, you know, rather than risk somebody else, we chose, you know, somebody who sat elbow to elbow with Barack Obama. You know, so surely he must have learned something hanging around Barack for 8 years, you know. So, you know, and our black Democratic base is like throwing nothing but rose petals at his feet. He got to be all right, you know, he got to be. But yet and still, you know, you can stand on the pulpit and preach from the pulpit, you know, fire and brimstone all you want. But the same issues still exist this year that existed last year. The police are out of control, and it doesn't seem to be anything that's going to be done about it. Skinheads are out of control. White supremacists are out of control. You know, Republicans are out of control right there in Congress, you know. And we're not even talking about the issues at hand, like the issues of the border, you know, and, you know, the issues overseas, you know. And, yeah, man, it's like, so when do we ever get down? When is it black folks' turn? When is it our turn, you know? When does the wheel come around that the truth hasn't been so discolored and hasn't been so faded that it has lost its meaning because it's never been talked about? So that brings me to the place of Black Wall Street and Juneteenth, you know, but not in the sense of two events, but the loss of consciousness, the lack of morality, you know, the total disregard, you know, of black lives, you know, to the point to where we argue the point of it mattering. How can people have an issue with somebody black standing up and saying my life matters? I mean, just how can somebody have an issue with that? You know, how can somebody have an issue with someone standing up? Uh-oh, I'm dropping everything. Hold on a second.
Lost his mic. That's all right.
I'm back. Hello?
Yeah, you're still there.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Hear me now.
Yeah.
Hello?
You must have muted
his
phone.
I dropped my phone. I dropped my connector. Sorry. You know, so maybe it was telling me, man, just shut up. maybe it's time to just shut up about it. But how can someone have an issue with, let's say, a 9-year-old black boy standing up and saying, my life matters? How can somebody have an issue with that? How can somebody in America fix their consciousness around an attitude that would allow them to say, well, so does white people. Lives matter. I mean, what kind of mind justifies making that statement, you know, as a reaction to, you know, a young black boy standing up and saying, my life matters? How can everybody not say, you're right, or support the idea with applause, you know, and not turn it into an anti-campaign? You know, what do you mean black lives matter? All lives matter. So should I have said black lives matter also? Would that have made you happy? You know, but it can be done in a country like this because meaning Americans, have never been taught the truth about America. You know, and so we can bring up Juneteenth, we can bring up, you know, Black Wall Street, you know, and we can make a point of two dynamics, you know, taking place. and recognize the issues that America has. And you know, it took, you know, what was it? What was that show, The Watchmen? Will?
Which one?
Was it The Watchmen? No, the TV
one?
Series.
Oh, the series. Yeah, the series.
Is that what it took for people to say, wow, you know, maybe this thing really happened? Anyway, man.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously it's going to take future shows, so before I put you to sleep, you know, it's just looking at the number of black massacres that have happened long before, you know, what went down in what was that, 1921, 100 years ago. You know, the numbers of them. And the numbers of them that happened in the 1800s. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, at least 12 that made, you know, the roll call from 1863 to 1898. 12 black massacres. That's just for the 19th century or the 1800s. We're not talking about the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that happened before Tulsa. You know, and we're not talking about the 2, 3, 4 that happened after Tulsa. You know, and we're not talking about black riots, you know, because that's where people always want to go. We're talking about black massacres. And we're not talking about riots fueled by a person being shot dead by police. No, we're talking about massacres where the intent was to kill black people, you know, and to kill as many as possible before the bloodlust was brought to a halt, you know. But, you know, America would rather tell bedtime stories, you know. Even the Romans had a thing that whenever their children behaved, they would say, you better behave, Hannibal's at the gate. You know, Romans feared the hell out of Hannibal. And so they made sure that their children feared Hannibal as well, you know. So, you know, to the point of, like, there's a point to be made about that in regards to, you know, the history of who is this guy Hannibal. But in America, it's like, no, we're gonna continue with the myth that black lives don't matter. And we're going to show it by not telling you how we did everything we could to eliminate black people. We thought we had to practice down based on how we dealt with Native Americans. You know, we thought we sealed the deal pretty much by dropping a bomb on Asian Americans, you know, but these Negroes, these stubborn Negroes, you know, they keep showing up like, you know, like the roach. No matter how hard we try to get rid of them, something new and improved comes along. You know, and that's so biblically correct. You know, anyway. So, man, I'm sorry. Again, I apologize for going on and on. On and on and on about this. But at some point, I'm hoping we can do future shows periodically on some of these massacres, man, between now and the end of June.
Yeah.
You know, I think June is going to become Black Massacre Month. You know?
I mean, we're looking at, again, in case any of you who are listening never watched the Watchmen series with Regina King, in the beginning,
right,
you actually get a moment of a visual possibility of what it was like living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and getting massacred just out of nowhere, bombs out of nowhere, you know, in your own society, in your own neighborhood, you know, and what you and like-minded people, you and others, built, you know, just for basic, you know, sustainability and life and freedom. This is 1921 that this happened. Again, for 2 days, May 31st to June 1st. But what's interesting, you know, and we're talking about Juneteenth, and it's not even a full year. 1865.
Yeah, man.
It's not even, you know, 60 years. A 60-year period, you know, where supposedly we were free, and then it took another 2 years or so before even the slaves in Texas knew they were free. And then 60 years after that, you get the Tulsa bombings. And then 100 years later, they're dealing with the trauma of seeing
another black man get beat and killed on TV. And still fighting for hate crimes, for just little stuff to give us some ammunition, you know, some shield, you know, still fighting for voting rights. You know, this George Floyd Act, you know, telling when that's even going to really be for real and be discussed, you know, through our government. You know, we've been talking about police reform, but we see where that goes. That's just a back and forth ping pong match. They did make some changes here in Chicago recently. I don't know if you heard about it, but that's more in regards to when they go on foot pursuits.
There's all kinds of changes, anyway, go ahead.
I'm just taking a brief moment to connect a few dots, and not going all the way back to Manifest Destiny, just looking at the last 160 years. Excuse me. Yeah, 160 years. And the lack of change, you know. I know the saying is, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But you know what was ringing in my head earlier is the more things change, the more things change. It was really strange. I don't know why. I'm glad I remembered that. I guess that's why it was just ringing in my head. I guess the more things change, the more they need to change. I don't know. You know, so I know change takes a long time, as they say, but I'm just connecting some of the dots, you know, and listening to you talk about Juneteenth and Black Wall Street. So, you know, no need to apologize. You know, again, I wanted you to bring that up because I know this was something that you wanted to mention.
Well, I just need to say a few other things just to drive the point home. You know, again, you know, 1863 was the first recognized black massacre, you know, acknowledged anyway. Maybe not the first recognized, but the first acknowledged. And that took place in New York. You know, 1866, two black massacres, one in Memphis, Tennessee, and the other in New Orleans. Where exactly? In New Orleans, I can't say, but in Louisiana, in New Orleans, you know. Then 1868, you know, Old Pelosas, New Orleans. You know, St. Bernard Parish in New Orleans. Camilla, Georgia, 1868. So, you know, in just 5 years, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 black massacres. You know, in 1873, Colfax, New Orleans. Man, New Orleans was hard on black folks. You know, 1874, you know, Eufaula, Alabama, and Vicksburg, Mississippi. 1875, Clinton, Mississippi. 1877, Thibodaux, New Orleans, another New Orleans. 1898, Wilmington, North Carolina. You know, and, you know, that's just to get through, you know, see, why I bring up Manifest Destiny, this is why. This is not, we parallel this and we match these years up to who was the president. We match these years up to what, you know, American movements were about as far as, you know, it taking over territory. And remember, we're talking about when we get up to 1898, we're talking about after almost 200 years, sorry, that's where the end of the Indian Wars came, you know, in the last couple years of the 19th century that started in the 1600s. You know, so, you know, all of this is about, in such a short period of time, what our idea of American history suggested America, meaning me, coming up in school, we had the right to do these things. I'm having to hear about this history, and then I'm having to wonder about a dude like Emmett Till, you know, and I'm having to question silently, you know, the issues of my heroes of my time, you know, the Jackie Robinsons and the Muhammad Ali's or the Cassius Clay's and the, you know, and the Bill Russell's, you know, just, you know, and that's not even to talk about, you know, the politics of the time, But that's the 160 years I'm talking about, you know, that we never got one bit of any information about all of these 1800s or 19th century black massacres. It's like they never existed in the schools that I came up in. There was never any talk. Now we get a movie that comes on, a TV series, and now everybody's talking about Tulsa, but still not talking about, you know, racism in America, not from a white perspective, racism in America from a black perspective. You know, that's still not the theme of the conversation. That's the reaction of the conversation. Let's bring in a few black people to talk about their ancestors who were alive at the time. You know, no, let's talk about the fact that American history has denied America the truth about itself. You know, and until that's rectified, I don't care what we argue about the school system. If the school system isn't teaching the truth, what difference does it make? And the truth about America is that it's a racist society. You know, and somewhere down the line, if we want to see a shift in consciousness, that's going to have to be acknowledged. If not, we're going to keep having these idiots say, hey, you know, that was just a bunch of folks out having a good time that raided, you know, the Senate. You know, they weren't really going to do anything. They were just kicking up dust. You know, that policeman that got killed, oops, you know, that was just, you know, good old boys got out of hand. You know, it was really a whole lot of, and those who were really raising hell were really, you know, leftists who were wearing red hats. It wasn't really any of us. You know, the good, you know, until America can come. And then you got the very people that they were attacking who had to cower, had to hide, are all now saying, you know, it wasn't, we weren't really scared, you know, and white America's cool with that. And white America, you know, where's Mike Pence? Where's Dracula? That's who I want to hear from. Mike, can you tell us what it felt like, you know, to hear your boys say, hang Mike Pence. Can you just tell us what that felt like to hear that chant, Mike? You know, just, you know, forget, you know, not asking you whose side you're on. Just what did it feel like to not get a call from your president, the ass who you have kissed for four years, to not even get a call from him to ask if you were okay? Just, can you just tell us how that felt? You know, just, let's just start there and then work our way down to all the rest of them idiots, like that fool out of, you know, Missouri, is he Howley, whatever his name is, you know, punk white boy, you know, and this dude, Kevin McCarthy, that every time I hear his name, I think about the Body Snatchers, you know, the movie, you know. You know, I mean, and what supreme idiocy is that chick, you know, what, Marjorie Greene or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody's okay with this. Man. See, until those issues are talked about from a racist perspective and the history of racist permissive attitudes, I don't give a damn what you teach in school. He ain't teaching this. Nothing going to change. Yeah, change for change's sake means nothing. But, yeah, as much as things change, as much as they stay the same, as much as they change, you know, and that's kind of, you know, how it goes, you know. It change, stays the same, and changes. Changes, stays the same, and changes, you know. And we're stuck on that Ferris wheel, man, of you know, like Jung said, you know, we're in a, you know, a metamorphosis, so to say, you know, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. You know, we're always changing, you know, physically, you know. And we don't have to change mentally, even though our mental facilities change as we get older. But a reality of American society when it comes to racism, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. It has never given a reason to, because of white America has convinced America that racism really doesn't exist in America. I mean, you know, we took care of all that with the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, I mean, look at what Negroes did with freedom. All they do is kill each other in their neighborhood. All right. Yeah. There I go.
Man,
somewhere down the line, we have to have. Yeah, I remember you talked about something about policing our own neighborhoods. Oh my God, you know how dare you even? Because you know we're heathens. How are we gonna learn how to? You know, this ain't coming from white people. It's coming from black people. We don't know how to police ourselves. Look at how we treat ourselves. I don't know anybody. I don't. In my circle, in my family, of those who I know, I don't know anybody who would not be a candidate for policing if they wanted to do it, you know, for policing their own neighborhood. I would welcome the opportunity of those I know to be trained to take care of me. You know, I don't know these people that folks, I'm sure they're out there. We read about them every day, and I've done my share of running from them, as have you, you know. But those who would be there to protect me from those who have affronted me within my own sphere, oh, yeah. Yeah, bet, you know. I mean, I think of those who served in the armed service who I've known. Heck, yeah, great place to start, you know. I think of those who I've grown up with, those who you've, you know, looked at from the eyes of a youngster and a teenager, you know. Yeah, you know, I think about you. Think about dudes like Adam. Well, maybe not Adam. No, I'm kidding. You know, hell yeah. You know, I have no problem with y'all being trained to protect me. Mm-mm, not at all.
Yeah. 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 So do you think that this George Floyd Act will be taken seriously? I mean, do you think that?
Well, let me ask you this. Has the Civil Rights Act been taken seriously?
It's still an act, right?
Yeah. So has the Civil Rights Act of 1865 been taken seriously?
Yeah.
Get from 1865. Has it been taken seriously? We're still fighting for the vote. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, we're still fighting for voting rights, yeah.
You know, those who are in the power to dictate policy are justifying eliminating, you know, the power of the vote. Yeah, they're not coming out and saying we're aiming this at black folks. But who are they aiming it at? Black folks and a few white folks that don't make a difference. You know, come on, man, you know.
So for those of you that's not that familiar.
So no, I don't know. To answer your question, you know, I think it will have to just wait in line. You know,
yeah.
I think it's great politics. I think it makes great, you know, hype on the media. But as far as effectiveness is concerned, I think it's going to have to wait its place in line. You know, right now, you know, the powers that be have so convinced the people that defunding the police means firing all the police. And, you know, like,
right.
But that's okay in Texas because everybody's going to be able to carry a gun, you know. And this is what, you know, this is what the idea is right now that everybody's jumping at. You know, that, yeah, defunding the police, that's a terrible, you know, concept that Democrats came up with to make a point. You know, the idea that expecting people to know what you mean by defunding. No, it sounds like, you know, you're going to take away the money that pays police salaries and provides for the necessary equipment they need to protect them from protect us from against the demon horde that is just pretty soon coming to get our children. You know, so yeah, right. You're going to defund the police. So who's going to take care of it? You know, that's what, you know, ignorant America thinks that means. And there's just enough people in position to support that idea politically just to keep the status quo going. No, man, all of these things are designed, you know, to keep black America black, you know. It got nothing to do with, you know, making black America America. You know, let's keep black America black, and let's do everything we can to keep it that way. You know, and let's not, you know, let's not even question a census that suggests Black America is now the third population. You know, how can that be?
That keeps the same percentage
forever.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Forever.
How can that be? How can that be? You know, how can that be? Yeah, no, man. Everything about America is to keep black. You know. And the difficulty is even being able to talk about that fact as fact. Instead, it's treated just like white America is always intended for it to be treated. You know, you're a conspiracy theorist. Are you overreacting? Or, you know, you're a rabble rouser. You know, are you a Black Panther? Yes.
Yeah. Are you a communist?
You know, are you a communist? You know, what did that dude call me on one of the shows? Call me a fascist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How the hell did I become a fascist?
No,
you're
fascist or you were studying, you were in the words of Marxism or something like that. Or is that the same thing?
Yeah, I was a fascist who was also preaching Marxism. Yeah, I mean, that's what the cat said, man. You know, it's like, damn. I thought I was just this, you know, this innocuous black dude who nobody paid attention to. Yeah.
Among the millions.
Among the millions. Yeah, I love that. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, man, in the 60s, you know, when your ma was teaching African-American history at an up-and-coming academy on the south side of Chicago called Kenwood, she was 21 years old, teaching this new idea formulated from the push. You know, that wasn't brought on by the peace movement. Singularly, it was brought on by several moves, of which included, you know, SNCC and CORE and the Black Panther Party. And, yeah, the Southern, you know, whatever the, I never can get the initials right, but the one, you know, that with King was a part of and Abernathy and, you know, like the Southern Christian Leadership Council or something like that. You know, the Freedom Riders, you know, the black and white. All of this is what fueled the idea of raising black consciousness. And we had wonderful black writers who were writing about the themes of black consciousness, not about the dramas of, you know, of pimping women and selling dope, you know, and talking out the corner of your mouth and wearing 8 pounds of jewelry around your neck. No, but talking about a lifting consciousness, you know, talking about the themes of issues born from the early 1900s that just cascaded and continued on into the mid-1900s, you know, where black consciousness was truly becoming an art form, you know, where we were expressing ourselves not as fad, but as consciousness, you know, wearing our fros was symbolic of a lifting of consciousness, wearing dashikis and dressing in colors and wearing tikis around our necks and even having, you know, picks in our hair, you know, wearing dark shades and leather jackets and black cams. I mean, it all was symbolic of a raising of black consciousness, and by any means necessary meant any means, you know, not singular means. You know, that's the push that drove King into Johnson's office that led to the rewriting of the Civil Rights Act in 1963. You know, like, you know, enough is enough, dude. You know, this is about to get worse. It ain't about to get better. So you have a chance to have a place in history. And Johnson was one of the most racist people there was. You know, but his change in consciousness politically suggested, maybe my man is making a point here. You know, yeah, man. But see, we watch movies today like, The Black Messiah. What was it? Jesus and the Black Messiah? What was the movie that just came out?
Judas and the Black Messiah, yeah.
That is talking about a very pivotal time in black American history, but too many people are arguing the dialogue. Listen, the whole point, you know, of the significance of history and arguing dialogue, or this is so boring or so ho-hum. You know, this is the dialogue of the 60s, but you want to see action. Yeah, man, we are so trippy, man.
I don't like that actor who played Fred Hampton. So
yeah, what's up with that? He's an actor, you know.
I'm not going to support that black actor from Britain. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and that raises so many other issues that gets me going. You know, what makes a Jack Nicholson or a John Wayne or a Burt Lancaster or Kirk Douglas, you know, what makes a Meryl Streep even, you know, or anyway, just go around. What makes them great actors? It's great script, you know. That's what made them great actors, great scripts. Great scripts that they wound up putting their brand around, Harrison Ford. Now tell me if Harrison Ford is a better actor than Sidney Poitier, you know, or more comparative to his time. Is Harrison Ford a better actor than Denzel Washington? You know, scripts is what made and scripts and being typecast in those scripts is what made all these folks, you know, what we call great, you know, because they had a chance to just ho-hum their way through this wonderful scripts that allowed them to rise to the occasion, and they could pick those scripts in any way they wanted. So, of course, they were going to be the icons of great acting. And then they had white people to determine that they were, in fact, the best. You know, white people still haven't figured out, you know, that Don Cheadle in Devil in a Blue Dress was heads over heels better than Jack Palance in City Slickers. and Don Cheadle wasn't even nominated as supporting actor, man. Shit. I'm sorry, excuse me, man. You know, but, you know, like, man, when have you ever seen, like, let's take a Tom Cruise or a Brad Pitt. Have you ever seen them in a movie that, like, maybe, you know, co-stars like a or Rod Steiger? You know, have you ever seen any of them in a movie that raises them to prominence where they had black actors that made them look good? You know, anytime you've seen a Morgan Freeman in a movie with anybody white, you know, he's so good, he makes them look good.
Right.
You know, and they don't even get nominated. You know, man.
Maybe think about that situation with Judas and the Black Messiah, speaking of that, because they, you know, both actors were nominated, but got put in the same category, you know, as far as, neither one was considered the leading actor. They were both supporting actors.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both supporting actors in the same category, not even in the leading, you know, role. You know, that right there was, you know, 'cause there's no way that's going to happen. That one's going to be a lead and then the other's going to get one for supporting, and they both get an award. Oh, my goodness.
What are we going to do then?
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
a movie about Fred Hampton? You mean a movie about the American government intentionally, with the intentions on going to this man's crib and cutting him down and anybody else there? Where in this movie, they actually, you know, Hollywood is Hollywood, but in the movie, you know, you had this dude leading the FBI charge saying, no, we're going to kill him. You know? But they don't talk about that part. They want to talk about, it was boring. I didn't like dude playing Fred Hampton.
Missing the whole point. Yeah, man.
You know,
and missing the whole point of the significance of the time. Man, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, showing the beginnings of what the Rainbow Coalition meant. You know, not what it is today.
What it meant at the time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, you know, what it meant at the time and what fueled it, you know, and what its possibilities were at the time and what the people believed at the time, man. But I tell you, you could eliminate a Black Panther Party and still justify the Ku Klux Klan. Tell me how you do that magic act. Same government.
Yeah.
So, of course, the Proud Boys and all the rest of them skinhead sons of bitches are going to still be thriving. Because white America, racist America, has given them permission to, from its inception. It's made it clear. You know, it's made it clear. you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to live, if you want to strive, if you want to have a chance, if you're black, you better be cool. Ain't got no time for you to be educated and dangerous. Dr. Huey P. Newton made that point clear. Oh, man, you know, we ain't going to call you doctor, nothing. We're going to call you a Black Panther. You know, rabble rouser. You know, we're gonna use all our power to scare the bejesus out of white America and black America. Oh, make no point about it, man. I was raised Catholic, so here I am being raised Catholic, being taught about, you know, a white God, even though, you know, maybe, well, God ain't got no color, but how come all I see is white? Well, you know, just don't think of it like that. That's the kind of schizophrenic, you know, treatment I would get growing up. But in the meantime, coming up at a time when, you know, like Elijah Muhammad and the Muslims, with, you know, the media called black Muslims, they never called themselves that, but he was, you know, but it was the Black Panthers, you know. So you got the Black Panther Party, you got the black Muslims, you know, you got the Catholic Church, and you got Muhammad Ali. Oh, my God, what is a black boy supposed to do? And being raised Catholic, you know, so, you know, it's like, and at that time, man, the Muslims were, Elijah Muhammad was, you know, he was raw dog hard, man. It's like, he didn't cut no slap. All white people were devils. You know, that was right in their newspaper, Muhammad Speaks, you know, all white people were devils, period. I don't care if you got an aunt, you know, who is Jewish and married to your uncle. I don't care if you got a cousin who married somebody. All white people are devils. It's like, I don't care if you got an uncle who brought, you know, a German woman home with him after the war. All white people are devils. You know, I mean, and then I go to a Catholic church, and all I can do is just hum, because I dare not speak out against the confusion that I'm dealing with. Like, you know, Father Ducharme, what do you think about Malcolm X's, you know, talks on all white people being devils, you know. Can you help me with that? You know, no, man, never the conversation then or today, you know. It's an amazing thing what it takes to be black in America, you know, and how subtle, you know, the ordination is, how we just so gradually become just molded and brainwashed, really, you know, into developing a personality that will allow us any chance of success, you know, and very careful about speaking against anything that would cause us to lose that. See it every day on TV, man. I see it every day in politics. I see it every day in the news shows. I see it every day in athletics, you know. And I watch these men and these women for the most part. Now, there are a few who get out there and they get kind of hard, but you don't really see a whole lot of them, you know. But, for the most part, you know, even Jim Brown, man, you know, raw dog Jim in the 60s, he shows up with Kanye at the White House with Trump supporting. What happened?
Right.
Jim.
What happened, man? What happened? Your boy Tim?
Right. Your boy Tim?
You know,
how could you not, you know?
You know, but his boys, you know, his boys not speaking out against him. Like Bill, man, Kareem, come on, man. This dude was elbow to elbow with you dudes in the 60s. And you ain't got nothing to say about him showing up at the White. You didn't give him a call and say, Jim, you know, you too old and beat down now to whoop my ass. So what's up with you, man? What you doing? You know, no, man.
I don't know, Will. I don't know, man. I worry about y'all all the time, man.
Man, I'm getting to the point now where, you know, I worry about my son now, your grandson.
Amen. Amen, you know, man. That's what I'm talking about. And if we get generate enough worry, if we can generate enough fear and concern, you know, just maybe Floyd act will mean something.
Yeah.
But that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, something. You said something about being the difficulties in being successful as a person of color, as a black person in America. But even, I think before in previous shows, we've even asked the question, but what does that mean, though?
we can talk about what is, you know, we can talk about.
Yeah.
Or
right.
Overcoming these certain things. But do we even know, you know, can we even identify? Do we even understand? Do we have these discussions?
Right on, Will.
About what is success? So, you know, yeah, I worry about these things for my son now, but okay with having these discussions as well, you know.
Amen, man. Amen. Amen.
With him, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So,
man, you don't know what it meant when I walked into that, I don't know if it was an auditorium or a conference room at South Suburban College, man. South Suburban, right?
Yeah, South Suburban.
And y'all had the student movement going. What was it?
Yeah,
Black student.
Yeah, we had the African American Student Union.
There you go, African American Student Union, man. You don't know what it meant for me to walk into that room and see all these T-shirts. You know, all these, you know, color-coordinated T-shirts, you know. And hearing the conversations that went, woo, woo. Man, I can't tell you, that was a crowning moment for me. And seeing you the head of it, man, what, you know, I don't know, maybe you say you're not. But seeing you, you know, right there in the front, you know, man.
I was the president. I was the president of African American Student Union, while I was a senator of the general student government to make sure that we had representation within the student government at the school. This was just I shouldn't say just, but this was a community college in South Holland.
Yeah, please don't say just. You know,
I know it's
a community college.
Because where we, you know, the school was in South Holland, which was, you know, full of white, you know, white Americans. They don't even sell liquor on Sundays. Jewel, I don't think, is even open on Sunday. You know, the grocery store.
Nope, sure wasn't. Nope.
You know?
South Holland, man.
Yeah. So let's tell you that
South
old
Holland,
school, old school white in South Holland, and that sit right on the. Right on the borders of
right on
of,
the cusp,
Markham and Harvey, you know, right there within that small little suburban area, we were dealing with such a flux of change and
you sure were,
you know, with this with these black people, they kept coming into this school and they just weren't really having it.
Yeah, it was, man. And the walk in, and I wasn't drinking then. That's what made it even more powerful. It's like, wow, I wasn't getting high or drinking then, man. I was straight, you know. It's like, man.
No, we brought you in as a guest, actually. Yeah, we brought you in.
Yeah, man. And it wasn't until because I hadn't been there before. I mean, with you there in that position, so the walk in was my first introduction to what was going on, you know. So I didn't, you know, the script that I came prepared with went right out the window. It's like, oh man, I'm home. Shit.
Yeah.
Sure. And my son is leading the charge. Oh, hell yeah. You don't know what that felt like when I left out of there, man. I was so filled with pride, man. My man.
Yeah, African American Student Union.
I'm just sorry I let my T-shirt go, man.
I got a used one somewhere. I got two of them still holding on, man, believe it after all these years. This is what, 19?
You know, and you know what?
This
Tammy
is 1990.
Might have, yeah, man, Tammy might have mine stuck away somewhere, man. You know, who knows? You know, because I know I didn't throw it away, you know. You know, but I wear T-shirts that only the collar remains.
I get teased sometimes with holes in my T-shirts.
I'm
like,
you
oh,
earned
yeah.
it, man.
What was that one story you said you got shot when you was in Germany or something?
Right. And I saved it as a souvenir because of that.
Yeah, that reminder
of how close I came to death. Yeah, that was my story back then.
Now, I was drinking then in Germany. Oh, my God. Man, I can't believe it got to be this late, man. I'm sorry, Will. Wow, man. I had a ball. Great show.
Yeah. Here we are already, right?
Yeah.
4 minutes left.
You got 4 minutes to land this airplane, man.
4 minutes left. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
Amen.
Through it all, we're back. You know, the greenhouse effect, back Thursday nights. We haven't made it official yet, but we will be doing the greenhouse effect Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. The time yet is to be determined, because that's just some things I want to talk to you, Dad, as we plan to do these shows. But we're looking at doing 1 hour shows now instead of two. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Saturdays, Write Your Own Book Club is kicking back up again. This Saturday, we're going to come back after a little hiatus. I'm excited about that again. So join us 10 a.m. Still 10 a.m. on Saturday?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't even been in the chat room. I didn't even see all this idiocy that was going on in there. Man, I feel terrible about that. Man, because, you know, you're the user-friendly person. I would have blocked this chat,
I was being user-friendly tonight. I will be researching some things. It was very interesting. But in the chat room, thank you all that did. Engage in the chat room. Hey, Sue, what's up, Adam?
I see now why Adam disappeared. Man, I would have disappeared too. Man.
Anybody else that was listening, you know, we do appreciate you all listening live.
Amen.
To our live
Amen.
Shows. You could have been doing anything else these Thursday nights, but you chose to listen to us, so we really appreciate you. Again, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Write Your Own Book Club comes back. Be on the lookout for Tuesday advertising coming up. We'll let you know the times. And I will be following up some of the information I mentioned earlier, such as the Saturn retrograde and the blood moon. I'll be posting that on the Greenhouse Effect Facebook group page. You know, we've both been kind of away from things with social media. I'm not going to apologize completely. I'm apologizing for those that really look for the things that we post. But I'm only not taking some of that because I think we both needed some time away from social media to just take care of things that we needed to take care of. But we'll be kicking that up again. So be on the lookout for the follow-ups again. So some of the things we mentioned, what the retrogrades mean, the blood moons and things like that. I'll be posting some information about the George Floyd Act, just what exactly is it. And always some information in regards to mental health. But we'll do that every week anyway. So this Saturday, again, Write Your Own Book Club. Next week, we'll be back again. If not Tuesday, definitely Thursday. Same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, just look out for any other changes that's coming up. So, you know, mask up, be safe, be aware of your surroundings out there, and, you know, each one teach one, tell a friend, bring a friend. We're right here. Dad, it's good to hear your voice again. Adam said earlier you was coming in Lima Charlie, so it's good to hear you again. This was a good show tonight. So thank you.
Love
thank
you, man.
You for getting it together. Love you too, Dad, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Amen.
All right, amen. Have a good night. Tomorrow.
made you who I am.